B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, May 31st, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Checkpoint XP will officially review its second game ever. And yes, it's actually another Bubsy title. Plus, details leaked ahead of Square Enix's E3 press conference about their new Avengers game. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. The Call of Duty franchise is a mainstay in the world of esports and gaming, but a trailer dropping recently let us know that the franchise would be soft rebooting back to Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, begging the question, is it too soon to reboot this franchise?
Really quick, what's the difference between a soft reboot and a regular reboot?
That's the thing. That's what I've been trying to figure out. They're going to be taking some of the same elements, I guess, of the
Price
previous
is back.
Game.
He died, didn't he?
Yeah, he's not alive.
So, well, I think if you were going to do a hard reboot of the Call of Duty franchise, you'd go all the way back to Call of Duty 1.
Yeah, and you would just redo all of those.
Nobody wants that.
But I suppose because Call of Duty is really where the start of an entire arc of story really began to be told.
With Modern Warfare.
First one. That's what I think they mean more so as a soft reboot, is they wouldn't be going all the way back
right.
to the first
right.
one.
Right.
We're basically pretending that we're at the time frame of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1. But without having any of the Modern Warfare games having happened.
So we want to go back to the point where everybody was in love with it and try and recapture that?
In a way, that's what it kind of feels like. Because right now, I mean, there's been a Call of Duty every year since 2007.
Multiple in size,
I think.
No, five. Yeah, you're
2005.
Right. Since 2005. So at some point, you're kind of going to, I don't want to say run out of ideas, but the well has run dry,
well, I mean,
if you will.
You've had the games bouncing back and forth between multiple development studios. And so you've had the studios making the Black Ops games. You've had the World at War. You've had Modern Warfare.
It definitely does seem like, you know, the Black Ops series is a separate thing.
Right.
Yes.
Right? Yeah,
it's
totally.
Its own continuity.
Yeah, it's its own monster. So set that aside. World at War, like, have they continued on that beyond, like,
I think there was World at War 1 and 2,
two.
Wasn't there?
That was
two
it. That was
yeah.
where, like, the Nazi zombies started.
Yes, it started at the first World at War.
That's right.
Where zombies started.
And now that's kind of been transported into other areas of the series
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, it's
so I don't know that World at War necessarily counts as its own arm. I feel like we're going through, like, Law and Order spinoffs,
right.
You know what I mean?
You know,
there's
that is what it feels like.
There's just
much.
As many.
Yeah, Call yeah. of Duty Criminal Intent.
So, yeah, right. Like, you've got the original run of the Call of Duty games, and then you've got the Modern Warfare
Can
spinoff.
Can we get D'Onofrio in a Call of Duty game then?
Awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't in one somewhere.
But here's the thing, though, is that Modern Warfare, the first Modern Warfare game came out in 2007. We just got a remaster of this game not that long ago.
Oh, with Advanced Warfare?
It was a standalone
Infinite.
In
Infinite.
2017.
Yep. Yeah.
But the thing is, Nate, you're absolutely right. When I heard about this, I instantly thought, wait a minute, the HD remix was just or the HD remake was just free on PlayStation Plus like two months ago.
Like, I'm confused who needs this. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
Does. No, you know who needs this? Those developing Call of Duty are the ones who need it, because they basically want to capitalize on, like, the popularity and how cool Price was, instead of just making up a new character. And that's what this hits me
as
devoid of creativity.
Oh, you want to talk about void of creativity? Like, this is what happens as a result of busting up the original Infinity Ward, right? Like, you made the situation at that studio so untenable for the most talented people there, but they had given enough of a framework for other, you know, less talented developers to come in and sort of just use their playing pieces to come up with other iterations of the game, and people are bored with it.
Right. I mean, the only way that this makes sense to me is if you want to, like, make Modern Warfare more of an anthology series. Like, hey, from now on, we do a Modern Warfare game. Because they've kind of set the precedent now that Modern Warfare games are a continual story. Now they're going to do it as, hey, Modern Warfare will be an anthology story. This one will be set with Russians as the villain. This one will be set over in Asia. You know what I mean? It's not going to, rather than having it be one story leading into the next.
I gotcha. Instead of having, like, a chronological
it'll
one.
It'll be more episodic.
There you go. Yeah. We're jumping to different periods in their
right. Each
careers.
One tells an independent story. Modern Warfare just kind of being the setting of it's in modern-esque times.
Yeah. Maybe seeing Price when he was just a private.
Sure, if you want to do that, but even that's kind of taking a more chronological story. Yes. I don't like that they're using Price at all.
No, I agree. Like, no, what he says is, like, no associations with anyone. They're
treated like Final
story.
Fantasy.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Each one is a completely independent story. The only thing that links the Modern Warfare games is that it is modern set. It is current age weaponry or slightly advanced weaponry, maybe. One thing I would like to see them do, though, is if you're gonna you're doing a reboot, why not explore some other time periods? Like, there are still plenty
or
of
other stories.
The Call of Duty hasn't touched. Yeah. Have they done Vietnam?
They did it once in Black Ops.
In Black Ops, that's fair. Yeah. Have they done Korea?
No.
Nobody's done Korea.
I don't think anybody's done Korea.
Have we seen the War of 1812? We see.
Well, but see, but you know,
I think you're kind of reaching now. But like, why not?
But everybody said that about World War One. Everybody said, "Oh my God, the warfare was not advanced enough in World War One. Why are we just gonna lay in trenches and watch each other die for 30 minutes?" Like. That's what everybody said when Battlefield 1 came out. Battlefield 1 dropped, and it was ridiculous, and it was fun, and people responded very positively to it. So it's possible to do. I don't think saying the War of 1812 or anything like that is really all that bizarre.
Well,
crazy.
No, but I think the problem here, I think that this whole situation comes up because of, like, nostalgia type culture. They could do all those things. They'd probably do okay, but no one's going to look on them as fondly as they did Modern Warfare. That's what they're trying to recapture.
But there's still even so much modern that you could do. Like the
but
conflicts.
It doesn't have Price. People still don't look at it the same.
But that's whack, though, because, like,
I agree.
You know, but I find it so hard that a company or a group of companies that have put together a game that people beloved so much can't tap into the same reservoirs of creativity
at
some point.
Because it's straight up not the same people who made that first amazing set of stories. Modern Warfare 1 and 2 were made by an entirely different development group.
Yep.
It was only Infinity Ward in name after that. That's, I think, the biggest point of contention is that after that, the series rapidly got stale.
Yeah.
Like, what did they start doing? They started throwing stars at it. Kevin Spacey, that's not a good decision now.
Timothy Oliphant was in one.
Yes, yeah. He was in the one set in space.
Oh.
So, you know what I mean? Like, it went so off the rails that I think, you know, someone like me who really enjoyed Modern Warfare 1 and 2.
Oh, dude, agreed. Once they had jetpacks, I was out.
It was done.
I was out.
All right, well, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Are you in for this reboot of Modern Warfare? Let us know what you think. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll take a look at the leaks surrounding Square Enix's new Avengers game. That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, it's time for Checkpoint XP's second review of a video game ever. Joe's review of Bubsy Paws on Fire is ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
What could possibly go wrong?
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including two brand new emotes, thanks to the generosity of our growing live community. You can celebrate the launch of the new Not Your Player 2 podcast, a podcast about esports and video games from the female perspective, with the brand new Sarah emote. Check it out over at our Twitch page at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. In late 2017, Checkpoint XP did its first and only game review to date when Joe officially reviewed Bubsy, The Woolies Strike Back, and he did so at great protest. At the time, he said it was the best Bubsy game so far. Now that Bubsy Paws on Fire has released, let's see if his opinion has changed.
Yeah, so I think that's where I actually want to start with this, is I'd like to revisit my review of Bubsy the Woolies on Strike Back, because when I reviewed that game, it was kind of, it was in line with the joke. Accolade said, hey, let's take this character that we had 20 years ago when everyone hated and everyone makes fun of the games, and let's make a modern game and it'll suck and everyone will laugh at it. And so that was the joke. And so I reviewed it like that game, and I rewarded it a 4 out of 10 and called it the best Bubsy game to date, which I guess it was.
And it single-handedly helped save your career.
Clearly.
Yes, yes, it did.
And so here's the problem, though. With Bubsy Paws on Fire, the joke is over. The joke no longer stands. It wasn't any longer just this kind of one-shot, hey, let's, you know, poke fun at a game we made a long time ago. No, now they're making Bubsy games again. So I'm reviewing my taking back my review from 2 years ago.
No, you can't.
Can you do that?
You can't.
Checkpoint
do that.
XP officially gives Bubsy the Woolies Strike Back a 2 out of 10.
Oh,
can,
wow.
Can he do that?
I don't think he can do that.
We officially can.
I don't know that we wrote any rules around reviews because we said we weren't going to do
it. Because we said we'd never do one.
So
let's...
I guess?
So now, with that said, let's move on to Bubsy Paws on Fire. Oh my God, it's so terrible. It's... Okay, so this one comes to us from Choice Provisions, first of all. It's not developed directly by Accolade. It is by a different company. It's published by Accolade.
Oh, okay. So just like with Call of Duty, you got to not judge this one. You got to judge it differently from the Accolade games.
Yeah, see?
It's very different. It's much like what they tried to do with Sonic Mania, where they brought in a new developer, someone outside of Sonic Team.
Who could revisit the classic feel.
Exactly.
He has a fresh perspective.
Right. Someone who has a fresh perspective, but also an appreciation for the great Sonic games that came before. But here's the problem is there were good Sonic games to draw stuff from. There are not good things to draw Bubsy things from. It's awful.
Well, but they got a couple of things right, like the fact that he's an uncle. Like, they included his niece and nephew.
They did. So we see Terry and Terry, his niece and nephew, who we have not seen since Bubsy 2.
Their names are Terry and Terry?
Yeah, T-E-R-R-I and T-E-R-R-Y. Terry and Terry, his nephew.
That's
his
horrible.
Niece and nephew. Now, I don't. In Bubsy 2, they did not reference directly that they were his niece and nephew. I believe that was a comic book that actually referenced that.
Okay.
But they do insist on calling him Uncle Bubsy. So I'm convinced someone from Accolade or Choice Provisions definitely listens to the show.
That's confirmed. That's canon.
I think that is solid canon at this
canon,
point.
Yes.
So I gave a lot of thought to how I wanted to review this game, and really, I kind of stumbled across my review because after playing the game for 93 minutes, I decided enough was enough and went to the Steam refund platform to get a refund of that game.
All right.
Which, by the way, costs $25.
This Bubsy game.
Yeah, Bubsy Paws on Fire. $25. $26.49 with tax, I remember.
Oh my God.
So this is what I had to say about it in my refund request to Steam. See where to begin. The game auto scrolls to the right and running into a platform kills you. In a 2D platformer.
Okay.
Yes, you read that correctly.
Hold on.
Nate,
okay.
You actually got to see this.
I did. I was watching you stream this on our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
It's not like the old Mario levels where it's auto-scrolling to the right and you move your character along with the platform. No, the game auto-runs you to the right.
Yeah, it's like Temple Run. It's like playing
a phone game.
Yeah.
Instead of stopping when you hit a platform, you just die.
Yeah, you don't stop when you hit a platform.
Like you
smash into it, break your face, and die.
As if it was covered in spikes.
That is correct. The music is short and repetitive. It's completely unacceptable in 1997 to play 10 consecutive levels without having the music change. Imagine my surprise when I realized it was 2019. My girlfriend told me she finds me less attractive for having it installed on my PC.
Wait, is that true?
I was not happy about it. But, all right. It's a platformer wherein you die in one hit. This wasn't fun or acceptable in Bubsy 1, Bubsy 2, or Bubsy the Woolly Strike Back. Surprise, surprise. It wasn't fun this time either.
Okay, then how come in something like Dark Souls, when you die in one hit, that's fine?
You don't die in one hit. You have a health bar in Dark Souls.
Oh.
Yeah, you can...
You can get hit. Not a lot, admittedly.
Clearly, you've never spent any time playing Dark Souls.
I played Sekiro. I'm pretty sure I died in one hit during that
game. Sure you did, but
you
yeah.
can get one shot by things.
But you do have a health bar.
Yeah.
But it's not like a lowly minion can sneeze on you and you die.
Right. The controls. Oh, my good God. You can't remap the controls, a feature that has been standard on video games since Tomb Raider. Furthermore,
unacceptable!
Yeah, the game handles like trash. There are three buttons to play as Bubsy. There is... S, J, and K. J is for jump, K is for pounce, and D is the third one for go down, apparently. Those are the three buttons that you press to control Bubsy.
Wait. Well, jump is not mapped to spacebar like any other logical control.
It is not. It's mapped to J.
Yeah, for jump. That makes sense.
No. Right, of course.
Could you use a controller for this game?
Good question. Probably. I hope so. Maybe. I would rather drown in a urinal than play 21 more minutes of this game. I have never in my life called for a game developer to lose their job. I admit that I have called for them to be moved off projects, but never to lose their job. But that ends today. Accolade CEO should be driving around their facility on a golf cart launching developers out of a cannon. In a world where we have indie titles like Celeste redefining what a 2D platformer can be, it is wholly inappropriate, possibly racist, and definitely sexist to permit a game like this to exist. In conclusion, this game would certainly not have won the Gold X Award, a prestigious award given by PS Extreme Magazine. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. 2 out of 10.
Did you so wait 2 out of 10, the same score as the Woolly Strike Back?
Yeah, you're right. 1.9 out of 10.
I was about to say, because that would make it tie for the best Bubsy game ever made.
No, yeah. I now given this recontextualization, I give more credit to Bubsy 1 than any of these games.
Wow. Did you get your refund?
I did get my refund. They did approve my refund. Now here's what I really want to say about this, because this is where I think it's important. As a one-off, Bubsy the Woolly Strike Back was a funny idea. It was everyone thought this game was trash. Let's make fun of it. Let's do a game. But now you could legitimately be making different games than Bubsy titles. You could be trying to make a decent platformer. Choice Provisions. You could get them, and maybe there's someone with talent on that staff. The game functioned without glitches, someone can program.
I looked up their games. I don't think they can.
Okay, well, maybe they can't. That's fair then. But the point is, at some point, another project was denied funding so that this project could happen. And this is where nostalgia starts to really become a problem in the gaming scene today. I think Bubsy is a perfect symbol of that. Think about games like Duke Nukem Forever, which, again, funding went away from other projects, presumably, to work on Duke Nukem Forever. As far as I'm concerned, it went towards funding cocaine parties, but whatever. Funding was directed away from another project. You got to take your time and choose projects that have some artistic merit. Bubsy in 2019 does not have any artistic merit. Yes, was it funny when he said what could possibly go wrong twice in the first 10 minutes of the game and then called himself out for it? Sure, I chuckled for a moment, I guess. But you could have actually maybe made something good, or at least tried to make something good. Instead, you made more garbage, and then to have the gall to charge $25 for it? Go away, Accolade. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising.
Bubsy Paws on Fire gets a 1.9 out of 10. Accolade as a company gets a 1 out of 10.
Let's complain about it.
Who's the target audience for this game?
Joe.
Good question. Yeah. Reviewers who had their co-hosts bully them into playing games. That's who the target audience is.
All right, well, listen. We want to hear from you. Have you played Bubsy Paws on Fire? Do you need to join a support group along with Joe? Connect with us on social media, because we can make that happen. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, some details have leaked about Square Enix's upcoming Avengers game. We'll go over those details and give our thoughts on the upcoming title ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. We have a bit of a complicated relationship with Square Enix, but one game that we've been very excited about has been the new Crystal Dynamics Avengers title. We were expecting to get some information about it at E3, but details have leaked early thanks to the panel description at the E3 Coliseum.
Yeah, way to go, E3 Coliseum. They accidentally let some information slip. The panel description for the Avengers title was, "Embrace your powers and join key members of the development team at Crystal Dynamics and the creative team at Marvel Games as they talk exclusively about the upcoming Marvel's Avengers. This is the defining Avengers gaming experience, an epic action-adventure that combines cinematic storytelling with continuous single-player and cooperative gameplay. Moderated by Andrea Renee, assemble in teams of up to four players, master extraordinary abilities, customize your heroes to fit your playstyle, and combine powers to defend an ever-expanding world under constant threat." That has since been amended to, "Join Crystal Dynamics and Marvel Games for a panel about Marvel's The Avengers."
Okay.
Which is probably what it should have been in the first place. But
it's exactly your fault, idiot.
Yeah, which tells you, I mean, first of all, as people who, I mean, we've been in the industry now, we know exactly how that phone call went. There was a lot of swearing and a lot of fix this right now.
Yeah. That does actually reveal quite a bit about, you know, what the game actually is.
Yep.
Is anyone terribly surprised by any of this? This sort of feels like what I expected.
Well, not just that, because to me, this still could be so many different genres. It doesn't really nail down how this game is going to play.
Right. Calling something action-adventure in 2019.
What does that mean?
Tells me almost nothing, right?
What does that mean?
True, but I think what this did for me more than anything, like, I kind of wish I could went back to not knowing a lot about it, because when I do think of those things, you're right, Norris, could still be a bunch of stuff, but it also puts in my head a bunch of things I've already seen before and don't really want to play.
Well, you know, there's also a couple of things that are important, you know, that are not here, right? You know, you don't have keywords like open world.
No, we don't have.
Instead, you have cinematic storytelling, yeah, which seems to replace, you know, like, it's kind of hard to have both of those things.
Right. Open world games with a cinematic kind of linear story. I guess Final Fantasy 15 tried to do that sort of thing.
I'd say that the Spider-Man and PS4 game hit that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually not...
Red Dead does it. Mm-hmm. You know, so certain sandboxes in open worlds do it.
And that's one of the things that we're seeing a lot of speculation about now that we've gotten this, is that with the success of Spider-Man, this might be very much kind of the model for how they're going to treat games like this. And it's really starting to lend credence to the idea of this Marvel gaming universe that we talked about to kind of run parallel to the cinematic universe.
I mean, I think it only makes sense, especially to keep continuity within, you know, that universe, but also make each game more compelling in the same way that every movie builds upon itself, and, you know, when it comes to the MCU,
right, but
I think the gaming universe could do
that.
But
with Spider-Man, you can keep it locked to Manhattan, really, yeah, and that can be the setting for the entirety of the game. With the Avengers, if you just stick them on Manhattan, that doesn't seem...
No, unfortunately.
It's not going to work. The Avengers have so much more of a cosmic scale to them.
Yeah,
which
not
is
just
what,
earthly.
Exactly.
Cosmic.
Which is what makes them appeal. Healing, and I think if you're going to make that intact, that you got to kind of keep the story on the rails.
Yeah, I think what I end up seeing with this is basically missions that you lock yourself into. You're essentially going back to more of like a level design. You know, which mission am I going to play today or with my friends?
Right.
And I see, especially once you get through whatever, you know, the cinematic story is, it end up being very repetitive as well.
Well, I'll say this though. I mean, if it is kind of a level thing where it is a more linear story, I don't hate that. You know what? We've seen a plethora of the open world, of the sandbox game. It has dominated gaming for the better part of the last 7 years, decade even. if I'm honest, I'm kind of ready for a more linearly told story.
All I know is that what I don't want it to be. It could be a bunch of different things, but one thing I know is I don't want it to be another like sort of Diablo style. You know how they have the sort of third person games where you pick any of the Avengers and you go through a dungeon. It's basically Diablo.
You don't want it to be Destiny. I think that I mean that's the game that jumps out of my head where I'm like, if it's that, I'll be furious.
I'm going to go one further with you. Anthem, co-op with your friends, customize whatever character
both
it is.
Single and multiplayer.
Yeah, they did specify that it's going to have single and co-op, but at the same time, I feel like this game is actually perfectly set up for co-op play because you've got multiple Avengers. It's because the design choice is either got to be allow co-op or you control one or all of the Avengers. Yeah. And I think that that's a little bit more like, I mean, sure, like give me power over one. But like, isn't it about fighting as a team? Like, isn't that when it's at its best?
Yeah. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be the bouncer. That's really what this game is going to be. This is going to be Marvel's The Bouncer. It's Square Enix. That's what this is. Nobody wants to say it, but that's what this is. This is The Bouncer with a Marvel skin.
Well, for me, when I look at it, the line that really stuck out to me was master abilities and customized heroes. Because when I think of the Avengers, well, they usually have a pretty kind of defined power set.
Yeah,
so what does customize
mean?
Why would you
customize characters when just select a different character and that should be your playstyle?
So does that
right?
mean I can make my own superhero a la DC Universe or something like that? Or
no,
does that
so. mean fancy skins?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is that this is a little bit more of a nod to the cosmetic side.
Well, because it says playstyle, though, which makes me think you could play, you know, Iron Man as a blaster or play him more, you know, agile.
Each hero will have a branching sort of skill.
An ability tree.
Yeah, that's all it's going to be.
That's what I mean. Like with Spider-Man, where you could do the techie Spider-Man or you could do the brawler Spider-Man. But that was a really fun part of that game was having different ways to play Spider-Man.
And you know what? I wouldn't be so opposed to like having different skins of different Captain Americas, like, you know, the classic Captain America.
U.S. Agent.
New Cap. Yeah.
America's butt Captain America.
America's butt Captain America. The Black Ops Captain America.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think really overall for me, though, I went from being really excited to this to now I'm going to be very cautious because I think I'd rather get my hands on this and be really surprised with what I got than be really disappointed in what it could have been.
Robbie, I'm going to tell you right now that cautious optimism is, or cautious skeptical is a great
there
way to
go.
Approach
Square
Enix in
That's
2019.
Fair. That's fair.
As it turns out, it was a great way to approach them in 2004. We just didn't know that yet.
But this is being developed by Crystal Dynamics.
That's true.
This is not Square Enix, quote unquote. People associate.
Crystal Dynamics did Tomb Raider, right?
They did.
Yes. Okay. Well, see, that makes me feel.
They also had hand in the Legacy of Kane games as well.
Okay.
So,
I mean, they've got
a great track record. So we'll see what ends up happening. But listen, we want to hear from you. How excited are you for Marvel's Avengers? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. There was a lot of lives in that one. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.